Good morning. This past week's daf was in the fourth perek of Maseches Nedarim. However, since we missed last week, it's not so much halacha in this week's staff, and there was a halacha issue in last week's staff, even though it was something which is not really relevant in the dorm itself, but it's kedai, I think, to spend some time on it this week, just to familiarize ourselves in the general topic, because it's relevant. Okay, so we're going to learn a little bit of Mikvoi Sukkim. Okay, a couple of lines over here in the Gemara, a few lines which contain a lot. Okay, so the Gemara starts on Daf Mem and Aleph on the bottom. But Omar Ravin, Omar Rav. The Gemara had brought a memory from Ravin, Omar Rav. The Gemara many times, those that it brings additional memra from Namoira, even though it doesn't necessarily relate to the topic on hand. So we're three lines from the bottom. Omar Rav and Omar Rav Mitra b'Marov Sahado Rabo Poras Mitra b'Marov. If there's rain, if it rains b'Marov in Eretz Yisrael, Sahado Rabo Poras. The testimony, Sado, from the Edus, of that is the fact that the Poras River in Bavel, close to Bavel, is the water level increased. If you notice that the Poras, the water level is increased, you want to know what the cause of that is, and it hasn't rained here. If it rained here, so that's that you could relate it to that. But if it hasn't rained here, so you could be sure that it must have rained in Eretz Yisrael, and that's how the Poras filled. Let's see the Ran. Why is this relevant? Zokt the Ran. You see the Ran over there? It's Ran halfway down. The Omar Rav Oven, Omar Rav Mishum Marova, Sad Rabba Poras. Kishuyoy Mata Beretz Yisrael. When it rains in Eretz Yisrael, that's Mitra of the Marov. Meid Olov Poras, the Bovel. The Poras River in Bovel gives testimony on that. Shekol Shehu Godol, because if it has grown the water level, it is an established piece of knowledge that even though you didn't see the rain here, so you can't relate that to the reason. Nevertheless, Yodik Shom Beretz Yisrael, but it rained at a different spot that causes the filling of the Poras River, right? So whoever did the investigation exactly, how the Poras weary connects and etc., right? But the rain in Eretz Yisrael eventually makes its way to the Poras, right? To the Euphrates. That's the Gemara says. Euphrates. Yeah.
Right. Since you bring this up, then I want to ask a question.
Oh, I don't know what the answer is. I'm just
geographically, if you look at the Pras, the rain doesn't really come from Eretz Yisrael. Lachor, it seems as though it comes from the mountains of Turkey, somewhere like that.
Mm-hmm.
So, when we say that it sounds like we're saying the rain that came in Eretz Yisrael is now the same water that's in the Pras, and that's why you can't right? It can't be tovel there. That's the sort of lechora we're saying. Now, are we saying that because we're understanding that it really rained above ground and came down into the pras above ground, and that's how we understood it got there, even if maybe we don't understand that Metzias today, but maybe that truly is the Metzias, I don't understand it. Or even if the water would have gone underground, soaked into the ground, got into the aquifers, and went into the aquifers, into the pras, all the way across underground, would that also possible? That's my question.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so this just, I don't know, this is...
Let me say a related question. When we say that a Mayan water is different from rainwater, so I would have thought all Mayan water at some point it rained down, it just went underground, and then it became a Mayan. Do we not understand it that way? If we understood that way, then it would be called rainwater, or that and Mayan really is from the Tahom?
I don't know. I don't really have too much too much education on that from other sources. It just the way the psukim describe it by the Mabul, it sounds like, you know, that there definitely are the sources on the ground, and then they have the arubas hashamayim. That's what it sounds like. Now, more than that, I can't tell you, right? But that's what it would sound like, that there are sources that begin on the ground.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, but more than that, I don't know. Now, the truth of the matter is,
I understand here. We know that in a regular mikveh, we have to have a certain amount of rainwater, right? It's water that they come for the rain, right? So, I don't understand why here it's a problem that we're having too much rainwater.
I don't think we mentioned that yet. We haven't discussed it yet. One piece at a time, and then we'll see if it needs explanation. Still, we'll discuss that. Mm-hmm. But at this point, we're even pre that. Now, Grado. But what it will become relevant is what Michael was saying, that maybe according to today's geographical setup. Or maybe if you ask your meteorologist today, he might tell you that the rain is coming from Turkey. But as far as we're concerned, that the Hilchos Mikvot aspect is concerned, it'll probably be all the same, right? That's right. It's not really important where it comes from, right? But as long as that and like we'll see in a minute, that the point over here is that what caused the high tide, that wasn't the right word, but the increase on the water level is rainwater, right? That's not where it comes from. I'm not sure if that really makes sense.
You're saying he said Marav is Lavdafka.
I don't know about that. I'm saying, but in the halacha, right, if things change or whatever it was, right?
Okay, right? But I think your point wasn't so much if it came from Turkey or not, but if it sort of landed on a river and flowed down, or it absorbed into the ground.
That was the icker of my question. That was point two, but I was trying to get to that with really point one to a certain extent. But that was my main question. You're right. And I think that the Rav is saying that it really doesn't matter whether it travels underground or not underground. That's still called rainwater. Right, but Mayan water.
I was trying not to give an opinion on that.
Okay.
That's how I understood
the rabbit.
Right. Okay. So now, let's see. Now, the next few words in the Ran is opening up the point that Nachman, you want to know. Now, why is this relevant to us? Why is Rav telling us this piece of information that the increase in the water level in the pras comes from rain, even if you don't see it over here in the immediate location, but it has rained some other place where the rainwater ends up here. Venafka mina show also lit for the oh. Okay, so this will be your question now starts, okay? Venafka mina, what's relevant to this? Show also lit for boy. So therefore it will be also to be table in the press. Why? Okay, so now over here the Ran gives us some basics in Hilchos Mikvois. Certain Tomas, let's say, require some kind of waterway, some water to be mitar, right? And we'll see over here in the Ran sources in the Pesukim of the Torah that there are really two types of waters which could be mitar. It's referred to some places as zoichlin and noitvim. Noitvim, right? It's a drip that really refers to rainwater, right? And zoichlin refers to
flow,
right? Yeah. But the point over here that would be that it would source from a spring, from a mine, right? So we're talking about the source right now. Right now we want to talk about the source of the water. You have Megshamim and Meimayim, right? Megshamim and Meimayim, and both have the ability if you have the right amount of water, whatever that amount is, if there is an amount. But if you have the everything else taken care of, but as far as these two sources, it could be Metair, right? Which Agav, what's possibly more prevalent is the halacha of Tfilas Kalim. Tfilas Kalim requires the type of mikvah for a nidah. Right? Now, Tfilas Kalim is not necessarily tuma per se. It's a halacha that when one acquires a keli from a guy, so there is a halach bezedins. Very possible that it's a deraisa. Many should say hold it that it's a deraisa. That one has to be tevel the kalim before use. Now, please correct me if I'm making a mistake, but I think that not too long ago, the idea of a kalim mikvah was not really so prevalent. So people remember growing up, right? Yeah. When we bought a new keli, we would make our way to the closest
regular mikveh.
I guess it depends where you lived. But those who lived in the area that had a pond nearby, so we would just we would go there, right? You know, other problems that the people were not maybe were not aware of, like, you know, maybe send children to do it. That's a little issue for children to be tevil, not so much as far as the ma'aseh tefillah, but the nemonus, right? That it was done. You know, if a gadol watches and could testify that it was done, then the child could do it. And I can even do it over here. Right? If someone wants to be mechanech a child to do it, they could do it. But in order to have the piece of knowledge that it was done, we can't rely on the cotton himself. Back upon him, but so this is where it can be relevant. As a matter of fact, this time of the year that people are traveling to different places, especially that has become the trend amongst the Olam HaYeshivas, that people go on road trips, right? It becomes part of the process. Many times, either you forget to take something home with you, or you just, you know, it's easier just to buy it there, and you know, and now what do you do as far as Tfilas Kalim? Yeah, Akoponim is like this. So the Ran tells us like this: She'ein meig shomim hanoit v'mitarim bezoichun el bashbarim. Rainwater in order for rainwater to be matar, it's not matar while it's moving. That's what Zeichlin refers to, flowing water. If it's moving, it's not matar. Learn from Sukkim. Right? Ella ba'ashboirin. Ashboirin klima, what does the word ashboirin refer to? The kovel v'kaimi. It's something which is, it's contained, and the water is still. Right? That's, you know, our mikvahs primarily are make shaman, and they're kfi v'kaimi.
Right. You have to have mega shaman.
What?
It has to be
mega shaman. It has to be mega shaman. Why you say that?
Because they bring in mega shaman, it can't be mayim shuvim, the whole thing.
As opposed to a mayim?
I'm not sure about mayim, but they
so mega shaman, right, mega shaman.
They bring in mega shaman to make the 40 sub.
Okay, right. I mean, there's shiva, right? That's a different point, right? How do you get the water? How do you get the water in there, right? Right. There's a merits halacha of mayim shuvim, right? Which is another point. But we're focusing on over here right now a different thing because there's not no problem of shiva over here because the rainwater that we're talking over here was, you know, did not come through any shiva. So we're focusing on a different issue. The issue over here is that Megi Shomim is only Mitaher Lash Boirin, only if it's Kvi Bikami, if it's standing in its place. It's not moving. However, Me Mayon does not have that halacha, and therefore if the source of the waterway is from a spring, then it's Mitaher Afil Bezeichlin, it's Mitaher even while it's moving, yeah, and, if it's stationary, also.
What's matar even if it's moving?
May mayan, mayan, spring water, spring water, right? Uh-huh. Right. So we assume we'll see it a little later, but oceans and rivers are sourced from mayan. That's what their source is. So essentially, those things. May Mayan is mitar even while it's moving, and we'll see in a minute. Right, the problem is that if such a thing like this has an abundance of rainwater, so it'll have the halachas and the requirements of rainwater. Now, just agav is just, you know, it's just maybe some pieces of information that people might have had over the years. When you learn the topic a little bit, it just helps a little bit. well, I'm not going into the specifics of this, but if anyone, you know, heard issues of in the mikveh filter on, filter off, right? That's because of this halacha, right? That those poskim that hold that while the filter is going, so the water is moving, it could be a problem of zeichlin. It's not necessarily a problem. There's my place to post about that.
Even if it's confined within the boundary of a mikvah, but it's
right. That's it. Could be that is the shaila, right? You know, it's not going too far. Right, just you know, making it sibuv, you know, back and forth. But there are those that, and just a couple of them, I mentioned that's what the issue is. The truth of the matter is that for a men's mikveh, you don't even have really these requirements. So you know, it's not
what requirements.
This halacha of mishuvim and all that, you know, that's you know, it's not really maker hadin, maker hatachlis. But so beikar it's negi if it's filas nida and if it's filas kalim, right? Fine. So we just saw over here that the halacha is that Megi Shomim is mitar only by Ashbur, not Bezerich. Means rainwater is only mitar if it's stationary, and not while it's moving. So now the Ran is telling us, so this memra that Rav just told us that if you see that the Pras River, the water level has increased, it's because of rainwater. I can't remember, that's what he said. And now Zokta Ran, what's relevant now is that being that the halacha is that rainwater is not metar b'zeichlin, rainwater is not metar while it's flowing, so we'll see that if there's room to suspect that the amount of water which is in this waterway, the pass, let's say, over here, has a majority of rainwater, right? So then already, you know, you can't be toivel. One cannot be toivel in such a thing, a tefillah that has, you know, these requirements.
But that's only if you suspect it's a majority.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But even if there's water in the bottom from a year ago, if it came from rainwater, it still has to be rainwater. Yeah. Even if there's water somewhere, you know, on the side or whatever, it remains within rainwater forever. It never turns in, like, it's not. I mean, I know there's a toaster, a bottle, but it's not bottle. It just becomes. It stays. You don't need to have double the amount of the river to rain right now to be a shaila. If there was rainwater previously in the
okay, thing. So we'll have to maybe wait to see that that Rosh that you're referring to, right? That could be a point. But so let's right now we're just talking general, okay? Mm-hmm. Okay, but that's a point. Let's see. So the Ran says as follows: Kidisani b'sifri. And there's a brayis in Sifri as follows: Ima mayon mitar b'zeichlin. We're starting, you know, picking up sort of in the middle over here, and we just learned that a mayon, a spring source, is mitar b'zeichlin, even though the water is flowing. Af mikveh mitar b'zeichlin. One might have thought that a mikveh, which refers to megushamin, is also mitar b'zeichlin. Tamalim ach mayon ubor. Ach is a miyit to limit. A limitation. Mayin mitar bezeichlin mikvah bashbayrin. This is the source that we know that a mayin is mitar bezeichlin, a spring is mitar while it's moving. However, that meg shamim, the lashon of mikvah over here, right, refers to meg shamim is bashbayrin. Hilchach kol heichad ikle meichash. Okay, so this is right now. At the Ran, based on that those pieces of information, so now the following nafkumina is like this. So therefore, if there's room to suspect that the megis shomim, the rainwater is greater, the amount is greater than the spring water, also, so then one will not be able to. Also means it's possible that for it possible to be mitar because it's moving, which means like this that it would seem that the halacha is that the din roiv over here will take over and the din of the entire water body will have a din of rainwater, and that'll be the halacha. So even though you have the amount maybe of Meimayin here, but once there's a din roiv, past bits it's mikoyach din of bittel, and so then you can't use the Meimayin and just, you know, say I don't need the megisham, so let me just, you know, make it as if it's not here. Once there's a roiv, so the roiv is mavatel, we'll call it that there's a bittel, and therefore there is no Meimayin for us to use.
First of all, by what I spoke about Mayim Shuvim over there, by we don't say what you just said, because you just need 40 sov of rainwater, and then you could have a 1,000 sov of Mayim Shuvim, and it's still a kosher mikvah.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't work by rove or whatever.
Okay, right.
Is that correct?
Mm-hmm.
And I don't understand why the pasuk uses the word mikvah to refer to the Gemara or whatever. It's a brisa. You would have a hav mina af mikvah matar bezochel. The word mikvah in that sense is even rainwater.
It is rainwater. That's what mikvah is referring to. You want to know why we're using that term? Okay, that's a good question.
The word mikvah just means a gathering of water.
Right. I'm saying the intention over there of mikveh is referring to megishamim.
Right.
Now, why we're using that word is a good question. Because the word mikveh needs ashbarin. I mean, mikveh is gathered, and ashbarin is basically mean gathered also, right? So they both are, mean the same thing. So it's not. It would seem like the word usage should have been a little bit different. Yeah, right. And I agree with that, Ha'ora. Okay. Now let's see. So we're middle over here. V'hainu.
I thought that word ashbarin, is the Aramaic version of mikvah. No.
Ashbarin.
Is this?
Okay. I mean, possibly.
But maybe not, because it says umikvah b'ashbarin zoichum. My matar bezochel umikvah bashboirin. So, I don't know.
Okay. So let's see. Yeah. Behind the kishano gadol harbe. Right then, when at what point is there a concern? If you have a nor a river, right, which is sourced by a mayan, it's moving, and if it greatly increases because of rainwater, then you have a problem over here. That because there's a possibility that there's roiv, rainwater, and if that's so then it can be mitar while it's flowing. See, so you can't use this to be mitar. Aval im haya hoylech liitoy oish lenisrabe elamaat. Now, the word over here, the Ran says aval im haya hoylech liitoy. Now the word that really refers to going at its pace, right? Slowly, pace. But in this context, it would seem to mean that if there is no rainwater, right? That seems to be what the Ran is saying in this context. We're talking about the rainwater. He's saying that if there's no reason to believe that there is rainwater, or even if there is, but you're sure and confident that there's only a minority, a minimal amount of rainwater, to let this filter be via snitzvim, then it's shori. Kidesani b'teiseftim. Hey, Rabbi Lezer, Bar Tzadok al Hazeichun Shirov Anoitzim Shehen Gsherim. Now it's interesting over here that it looks like that this is a point that had to have been made, right? Hey, and the Ran's making a point on this. I would have thought that the problem is just that there's a roiv, there's no roiv, so what's the issue?
Why is he using the word Zochlin to be referring to Mayan water? Zochlin means moving.
Mm-hmm. These two things seem to go together. Mayan and moving seem to be interchangeable. It doesn't necessarily have to be, that's true.
Because the pasuk also uses the word bar. Bar is water from underground, a well that is also, it has a bit like a mayan, but it's not moving. Right.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I don't know the answer to these questions. I hear, right. That seems to be a little interchangeable. Right. names and titles over here. Right. So at this point, we're just getting comfortable with what they refer to, but exactly what the word usage. Why this is the choice of words. Right, that I don't have the answer to. Okay. But are you comfortable with the word usage here?
The Zayichlo word Zochel in Mayan. This sense means Mayan water?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I mean, okay, tell me, I'll believe that.
Al HaZoichlin Sherobu Al HaNoitzvim Mm-hmm. Shehem Kshayrim. Right, that's what he's coming to say over here. Right, the Ran's coming to say that if you have a roiv, we're just pointing out that it would seem to be that even this we had to make a point about this, meaning to say that as you have roiv mei mayim, right? You have a miyut of meg shaman, and on that the Ran is making a point, and he's bringing on edus that someone said over. concerning this halacha, that it's kosher. That it seems to be that there might have been a possibility that it's not kosher. After you have to know why that is, why you think so.
Where's the rub saying that Zochlin is mikvah water?
Not mikvah water, it's Mayan water.
Rain water?
Mayan water.
No, Mayan water.
Oh, yeah, right, so that's what it is, right?
No, yeah. Zochlin means moving.
Mm-hmm.
Right, but that's what he's using it to. Right, but he's...
The water that's moving is a combination of previous rainwater and...
Right, but he's using...
And Mayan water coming down, flowing down.
Right, but he's using Notlin as the rainwater and Zochlin as the Mayan water. Right, that's...
He's bothered just because the word Zochlin means moving. It doesn't mean Mayan water.
Right,
but they referred to water that was... Kusher when it was moving, Mayan water is kusher when it's moving, so they called it Zochlin.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay, right. So then that's just the word usage over here, right? Okay, you can be Mayan, maybe look over there to see how it came to be, right? So we just be mur that point. Okay, I'm not going to go into that because I don't know too much about that. But it's interesting that point. Okay, fine. But as far as we're concerned, let's come back again where we stand. Again, right. These are the basic premises over here that we have two different sources of water which could be used to be mitar. We have mei mayan. Right, comes from a spring, I guess something under the ground, right, whatever spring means to you, right? Right, and I'm assuming that its source is right there, right? You know, if there's some kind of understanding that rainwater could somehow turn into that, I don't know about that, right? You know, maybe if there is, fine, finish, back upon him. But that's mei mayan. That's that source, and then you have another source is from rainwater, water which comes from the clouds, and that's rainwater. And we learn from the pesukim, that's the sifri that he brings, that the position of this water, there's a difference in halacha when it could be mitar. That mei mayan could be mitar in any position. Whether it's stationary, whether it's flowing, no difference. It's mitar, right? However, meg shomim is only mitar when it's stationary, right? And that's that. And the nusuch that the Tanoim use is zeichlin and eshboirin. Zeichlin refers to the moving water that's moving, and eshboirin means that it's contained. It's stationary,
and it goes by rove.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. If you have a combination of the two, right, then it's dependent, then it'll be roiv.
It's roiv for Mayan and for
Meg Shaman?
For both, you said it. He says, row for both.
No, well, row will, if you have a combination of the two in one thing,
yeah.
So row will establish that what status does this water have, uh-huh. And the halacha therefore will be dependent. So if you have, you have row mayan, then fine, even if it's moving, you're okay. if you have Aramaic Shamim, then you have to make sure, or if it's moving, it's no good, you have to make sure that it's not moving, right? Whatever you could do. Right?
So Rov Gishamim could passel a Maya, right? Could passel a Maya.
Okay, right? Right. And that really is the point of the halacha that Rav is saying over here. That's what the Ran is coming to say. When Rav told us, you should know that when it rains in Eretz Yisrael, it'll show up in the pras. The relevance of that is that therefore that if the pras grows to such a degree that the new amount of water that came would be more than what originally was. Now already you'll have a problem of being titled because the pras is a moving waterway, and once it has roif meg shamim, so now that the ability to be metaher right now requires it to be stationary. So if it's moving, it won't be metaher. It won't be able to do the job anymore.
The water flows downstream. It always flows. Right. So as you get further downstream, it's going to be more roif meg shamim. Because over here, it's the water that's from the source, a little bit of rainwater. And because why in Tishrei is it kosher? In Tishrei it's kosher because the extra rainwater already went downstream. That's what you have to say, right?
Oh, I don't know. I was going to ask you about that. Ask our meteorologist.
It kept moving. It's already gone. It's downstream. So wherever downstream is, there must be a place where there's more rainwater.
But I mean, is that how it works? Is that how it works? I don't know. It's a good question. I didn't know the answer to that myself exactly. How that works? But
I don't know how it works either. I'm just assuming that why in Tishrei is it okay? Because the water must have flown away and now it's down back down to the original level, which we're assuming that the bottom part is rove.
Mayan
water.
So do we understand that when it rains, it doesn't mix so well, and the upper part is the rainwater, which flows down more so than the bottom part? Is that?
I mean, if I were to guess, I'm not no expert on this either, right? But I would guess that there's a constant flow from stream water, right? So if you don't have rain, you're going to have stream water.
Right.
When it rains, if it's enough rain, that's going to bring up the level, let's say more than double what the normal is when it's not raining.
Right.
So then you know that the majority came from rainwater. But like you said, that if it stops raining, that rainwater is going to go away, and you're back to its constant stream, which is coming from stream water.
That's what I understood, exactly what he just said. But if that's really true, that means there's a place downstream that is row of rainwater. It's the snow melted from the mountains. It started to rain. The rain went, so for a while we said it was row mega shaman, or possibly, or chash, or whatever. And now we say, Tishrei, it's not anymore. Why? Because the water went down. But it's somewhere down, there's a place where there's more rainwater.
Into the ocean, which is,
that may not be right, because when you pour water from a source, you pour it right here. Really? So there's the most is here. As it flows and goes down a little bit, there's less and less and less, not more and more. So if there was an abundance of rain here, as it goes further down, maybe not more, maybe less.
Well, I didn't follow that. What do you mean?
Elio is saying that the rain, as it goes further downstream, there's going to be more down there. Because it's just flowing downstream, there's more.
He's saying that all the rainwater eventually makes its way down to one spot. That's what he means. That it's more, right? That's what he was offering. Now, what did you feel?
Well, what I'm saying is that that rainwater that's here, it could be by the time it goes downstream, further down, a mile or two down, it's much less. Because...
get diluted?
Because it's traveling down further,
some of it's evaporating.
Well, right? I'm not even talking about the evaporation, because that's minimal,
I don't think so.
Well, talking in a matter of a few hours. From it's going a mile or two, if water's running. But
I'm thinking if you pour water in any spot, you know, and it's going down, you pour abundance of water right here and it's going down, by the time it gets down there, it's less.
But why is that so? How did it get less?
Because it just spreads out as it goes down.
Again, it's going to lead into oceans, right? Huh? Unless you're talking about something like the Dead Sea, right? But eventually, that's where they all drain to. They all are going downhill, but eventually they're not building up. But the way you're describing it.
That's what the pasuk says. The pasuk says all the water is
going to come over
into the something or other, into the call and haras, go to the yam, but the yam is never male. Isn't there a pasuk in
the last pasuk in Koheles.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So that's supporting what Shlomo is saying. Is that at the end of the day, it ends up into the oceans. But I mean, I'm hearing something. This is a piece which I didn't understand initially. That of course, you know, we're not saying that it's the rainwater which is flowing downward more than the Mei Mayan. Of course, everything is flowing equally, but it's the source that's replenishing this water body right now, and that source is Mayan, so that's why, you know, after things move down, what over here is, it's the source. It's the it's fresh. It's a fresh
the brook by down the block from me, right?
Yeah.
Right. So obviously it's learned this Gemara very well.
Yeah.
Right. When it rains there, the whole area floods up. Right.
Right.
You know, the roads are blocked. Right.
Right.
Because the rainwater, in other words, it has a natural the whole year. It has a natural stream. Right. It's not. Like,
very,
you know,
very thin.
Right, but we're not talking about like it dries up, right? Here we talk about something, right? But this, it has a constant flow. But you know, if there's rain, it, you know, it builds up until the roads are, you know, flooded. And
mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
That's his name, that brook, right? That's, yeah, you know,
mm-hmm.
Right.
So that would be a.
So parents, definitely the rain. That's definitely the rain.
I think even Shmuel would agree with that.
Right?
I mean, it's just so quick, right after the after the rain, you know, it triples in size, you know, ten times in size, and then, you know, when it stops raining, you know, an hour or two later, it's back to.
Okay. Yeah, we'll see when we get there. We'll see. Talk and discuss that. Talk about that. Okay.
What?
Yeah. Okay. So this is what is relevant to us. Now, Zotik Ma'atis, Oplei the Shmuel. This memory of Rav argues on the following memory of Shmuel. The Shmuel Nara Mikipe Mizborich. Shmuel says, Nara or river Mikipe from its source. Mizborech, it grows. It grows from its source. If you see a river growing, even though it rained, but the main source of its growth is from its real source, its original source. Therefore, according to Shmuel, that there would not be a concern, but Shlomo was talking about. But on a general basis, there wouldn't be a concern that you have Roiv Meg Shamim, because Shmuel holds in the sources that if a waterway grows, it's because its source was aroused and its source is really the main source of its growth. Let's see the Ran. I don't know what the literal translation, you know, it's rack, you know, it's a bedrock. You know, it refers to the core. Kloima mimikoyrei hu mizgado. From its source, it grows. It grows from its source. Shav pishon roim shav shem yodim naris mizraven. Even though, now let's see over here what Shlomo's point over here is. Even though we see that, you know, it's raining, and because of the rain, we see that the water level seems to be rising. Ikari buimim karenu. However, you should know that the main source of this increase in the water level is really its real source. The real source. Can the Amar Beperek say the tainis? Like the Gemara says, "En lechol kol tipa v'tipa yer milmato." That when it rains, for every tefach, I'm sorry, "En lechol kol tefach v'tefach yer milmato," that every chayst she'in milmail, I'm sorry, right? The rain, a tefach worth, I guess they call it, they also how in inches of rain. I think that's what we right? They tell you how much. Right, so every tefach of rain water, shein tohim oil across it for chayim. That the tohim.
It's a nace that normally the source gives a little bit of water, but suddenly when it rains, the source is giving more water.
So
Hashem made that a nace?
Yes, I'm not sure if it necessarily has to be a nace. You know, if that's you know how the.
Yeah, sure. Can I guess on this?
Oh, okay, yeah, let's hear.
So this, back to what Michael was saying, in other words, there are underlying sources of water, and there's overlying sources of water, right? And they're not all independent, I mean, there's a whole cycle, in other words, these things evaporate, becomes clouds, the clouds come down and rain, right? And right, so it's a cycle. They're constantly getting filled and replenished between the rainwater, right? But so some of the rainwater is going to just land on the surface and become, rainwater, not spring water, right? And some are going to get absorbed into the ground. And this is a guess. I'm not saying this from either knowledge of science or knowledge of halacha. But I'm guessing that that's what caused it to be spring water is the ones that go underground are going to become spring water. So I would understand this Gemara or Shmuel saying is that sure you're getting the rain is replenishing the water that's going on top of the streams, right? But others more rainwater is going underneath it, raising the level of the underground springs in Turkey or wherever they might be, and that's considered rainwater. So when you see the water rising, some landed directly on the river, some became spring water and flowed into the river. And he's saying that more is going to come from the springs than from the rain. That's how I would understand, pure guess.
It would be a scientific way of understanding it. Scientifically, that's the way I would explain it. It might or might not be the emes, according or the halachic emes, one way or the other.
Can I ask a different question? Does Rav agree with every tavach milmala this tochayim milmita home? Does Rav agree with this concept? It's a Gemara. It's a Gemara in China. Is Rav and Avodah Shmuel agree with that, or that they argue with that whole concept?
Well, according to this explanation, maybe the issue is that does it become Meimayim?
Does that transform into
Meimayim?
Is that still called
Meimayim? But Lahalachi is Chumay, right? In the point, when I saw the sugya, right, I said that how is the edus that he gives different than what Shmuel says? So, okay, we see that it's rising up, so we know what happened because of rain. The question is, did more come from spring water or rainwater? So it didn't seem like the Eidus went one way or the other. But then I thought about the Sugya more, is the fact that it gave the Eidus to say that it's coming from, it's showing that it rained in Eretz Yisrael. The whole reason why he's saying it is because of the implicit, and therefore it's possible. And therefore, it puzzles the
That's what the Ran is. I think that's the Ran's point. But I think that Rabbi Yo wanted to know is that Chazal that the Ran brings that for every tefach of rainwater, there's two tefachim of tohoim that come up. Are they arguing on that or not? That's what he wanted to know. That would seem to be contrary to Rav.
The Ran does discuss this later. You don't discuss that in Nakuda at some point.
According to the, this is right. This is what the Ran is saying.
So if I understand correctly, then, in other words, the question is he arguing on the Matzias or is he arguing on the halacha?
Okay.
But he's definitely arguing on the halacha.
So that's what we're just saying over that. According to your explanation, that the Matzias, it definitely comes from the rain, and its halachic status changes. So that might be the issue over here, right? It could be that Rav holds that it does not change its halachic status, and therefore it's still called rainwater, and then the Roiv, right? Mm-hmm.
How do we find out if this is MS?
Speak to your local urologist.
Well, I don't know if that's the source to get the MS.
Keep learning.
You have to learn the those circuits over there, and you probably find out a little more, maybe.
We're lucky our local meteorologist is also Tom Chacham.
What's
his name? Akiva Adelvasco.
I think a mikveh is a higher level than a spring anyway, because you say mikveh Yisrael Hashem. Hashem is a mikveh. We compare Hashem to the mikveh. It's the highest level of the heart. No? Is that true? I'm just thinking that.
Yeah, I don't know. You have to look into the Mephoshim, how you translate the word in that pasuk. Okay, let's see. So we just saw that Shmuel Shita. Okay, now let's just finish the round, and we'll just get back. So we just like this. So Shmuel tells us like this, that even though that you see that it rained a lot, And definitely the increase is coming from rain. On that, he's saying, well, the there is double the amount of Tahaim water which is here, and therefore there's always a roiv of Meimayin. Right? Right?
All from us here.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. V'nim tishin lo'olam zeichlin rabban al ha'noitzvim. Therefore, that the spring water was always the majority over the rain water. According to Shmuel, no concern. You could always be tevil in the horus. So now this is where we come back to Shlomo's ha'ora. That Shlomo wanted was wondering that the what do you call it the pond the brook the
yeah, maybe that is that brook
that brook over there on what street is that over there?
So we have it at the end of Pennington, but it goes through like
what's that crossroad called over there? Okay, you don't know either. Okay, I don't feel so bad.
Like you have that all
whatever it is, right? Yeah,
I'll get the name.
So now, Shlomo was wondering that you see every day, you know, the size of the what it is. It's pretty minimal amount of water there. But then when it rains, you know, it's like the streets are flooded from it. So you want to know, like, you know, what's the majority over there? You know, it definitely feels like it's from the rainwater. But what we just learned over here that Shmuel says, the Chazal tell us that whenever it rains, that there is a majority of Mei Mayan. So this is where there might be a difference in understanding. See, according to the way Shlomo explained it before, that the Mekish Shomim will become Mei Mayan when they're absorbed in the ground. So if you have a very strong rain, and the growth of the water level is not because it didn't go under the ground. The water accumulated so fast that that it just piled up, so then that rainwater never had a chance to be absorbed, to change its status, so then that rainwater, that situation, there will be a roiv of rainwater, which has the status of rainwater.
And according to Shmuel?
According to that explanation. Right?
But that's not what the Ram says.
Okay. I'm just speaking out over here. Now, if you understand the Ram maybe a little bit differently, however it works, but if the understanding is that when it rains, that sort of activates the Mayim HaTachtonim.
Turns on the switch.
Right, turns on, right, it, right, exactly. The faucet gets flowing. So if that's what it is, okay, and then you know, it's regardless, right? whenever you have right, yeah, so that
it's just hard to work that out with gravity, though. You know, gravity works pretty well. but I don't know. Again,
well,
I have a
question: the source is not in underneath the whole entire river. The source is in specific places.
I don't know.
The edge of the river is source underneath it.
I don't know too much about this, but you know, if you feel confident in your
assuming.
Okay, right, I mean, I don't know exactly what the
so if
exactly.
You're close to the place which you call the source, there's probably more source water. But if you're a different place in the river, there's probably more rainwater.
So why would you say that? And let's say it's true that there's, you know, like a, you know, channels that are coming in, but once it comes in, so now it's going to flow down the water, and it's going to stay as spring water as it flows down the river, right? So even though it's coming in at distinct places, I don't think that would affect.
Okay,
I
hear what you're saying, but it's not like the whole bottom of the river is a source.
No, right. It's not like a jacuzzi, you know.
every couple of inches, another spout coming in.
You'd imagine. I never went in with the, scuba dive down there to see what's happening. But,
Right. So I don't really know. So just pointing out that the way the Ran gives this over, you know, it would seem like that this is, you know, according to Shmuel, this being that the rainwater activates the Tohoim, you know, so then it's always arrived. Now in our specific situation over here, this stream. If you want to question whether it has spring sources, you know, in this spot over here, right? Mm-hmm. Maybe that might be another way to maybe understand.
I think that brook is Mayim Kozel anyway. I think it sometimes drives up over there. No, I don't think it's a real.
I don't remember. I mean, it could be. I don't remember ever drying up totally. I mean, it gets pretty schwach.
It never dried up totally.
I don't remember seeing it. I didn't say it. I mean, I know that when I lived in the Tivot, we used to have these bodies that, you know, during the rain it would go down, and then you know, most of the year it was just
dry.
Yeah,
the tug out area.
Right, but. I don't know. I'll keep my eye in the mornings, you know, and I walk to the bus.
Yeah, okay. What is it connected to over here? The Pesach River?
I think so, yeah. Right? And it goes under, right? And it goes under Main Avenue. It's the last time I see it.
It goes to Pesach River. It doesn't come from Pesach River.
Where does it come from? Do we know where it comes from?
So that's what I'm guessing, is that, you know, various places. I mean, you know, it goes to the pond. I think it goes to the pond in the park.
In the
right?
park, it's connected
there. Which I believe isn't a natural lake. That's what I've heard, at least.
Is not, what?
Right, I believe that was a dugout.
It was dugout, okay.
Right, but I imagine that, you know, I mean, again, this is pure guessing, but I imagine that, you know, different, you know, as you get higher, different, you know, different rivers and different, you know, underground, overground. Yeah. I know I always enjoy, let's say, like, when it's raining, I always enjoy trying to, you know, like, you're walking up Pennington Avenue, right? So, once you get to, let's say, the top of the bigger buildings in on Pennington Avenue, you know that everything there has to come from rain, because nothing can flow up to the top of a building.
Okay.
Right? But it's like fun watching where these like streams of water going down Pennington Avenue are coming from.
Oh yeah.
But again, water is always flowing downhill, right? So if you get to a top of a building, you know, that has to be like a start to eventually flow into the, you know, the waters, into the drains.
What do you
there.
Mean the top of a building?
When you walk up Pennington Avenue, right, on a rainy day, right, or any avenue, right, that's the one I happen to look up, right? So there's, you know, rain, you know, flowing down the sides of the road.
The sidewalks.
Or, let's say, next
on
to the sidewalks.
The street, right?
Right? So it's always going downhill. So as you go up the hill, right, eventually you get to the top of Pennington, right? So there's puddles there also. You know, there's a stream coming from there also, right? So that has to be coming from rooftops that are, you know, they're down lawns into the street, right?
Okay.
Because again, rainwater is always flowing down. So once you get to whatever's the highest point in the area, that's where at least some of it has to start. Again, there might be other things happening underground that you don't see.
They're probably not happening underneath a cement street with asphalt. And even if it's at the home underneath a river that has rocks or dirt, there's not at the home that's supplying water underneath the Pennington Avenue.
Right, so you imagine that it must start in, you know, on top of houses and then, or, you know, you know, if the side of the road goes up, you know, like the properties go up, it must start from there.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. So that is the mokum. That is the room to doubt. To have a doubt over here, how to understand this, and therefore do we take what the Ran's saying is that, you know, whenever it rains, that's just what it is, or it's only because the Megishomim become Meimayim. If that's how it works, so then it will be an Afgamina in a situation where it rains so much that we wouldn't be able to say that it was absorbed so quickly. Okay. Now let's see. Okay, so right now we have a machlokes. Machlokes over here, la locha, that akoponim, when we have a water body, which because of it rained. And now that its water level increased double the size, or yesh lochosh that is double the size, whether there's a concern that there's a rave megishomim, then therefore it won't be able to be mitar anymore b'zeichon since it's moving, or we don't have to be concerned about that. Everyone agrees to the halachos. The question just is how we categorize what this water body is in front of us. Is this considered Roiv Megishamim or it's Roiv Mayim? Right? And the nafkmina is whether the fact that it's flowing is that a problem for these waters to be mitar. So it's Machlokes Rav and Shmuel so far concerning that. Zot the Gemara.
So why is it not potter when every drop comes into the water?
Okay, you want to talk about this question? There's a Rosh, right? There's a Rosh over here. Which asked the question. I don't know if you all have the same print, but by me, in my print.
What's the Divrei Maaseh?
Divrei Maaseh is. I'm just found.
Harami Kibbeh.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right. So it's a little bit further in that one. The loy omar kama kama bottle.
So what's the dibrei mascha? What's the dibrei mascha? Okay, got that.
Oh, you're right. Yeah, ein mam tam zefun. Right. The chashin shem rabu la tipe noitfin mekshuring shamim rabu al ikur mehano v'nispat luberoiv. Right. So he speaks that over here that the mei mayon was bottled from the roiv kishamim.
It's only a temporary bittel because if it goes back to the level in Tishrei, we don't say all the water that was there in 2 months before Tishrei that maybe was Rov Geshamim. We don't say that now is all of Din Geshamim.
Well, one more time.
Let's say it rained a lot, like Shlomo's example. It's raining 10 times more rain than normal, and the level goes up crazy. So at this exact moment, we say it's Rov Geshamim. You can't be toibling at this exact moment. Then it goes down to the level, the normal level.
But what happened now? Now that went down.
Some water flew downstream and whatever. But
so I'll tell you that according to the way I was given to understand just now is that the water flowing downstream, everything flows down. There's no water which is left behind. It's the new water from the source.
Not all of it's new.
Okay, but whatever it is, but there's.
I think it is.
All of it?
Unless,
that's not shy.
If it's flowing, if it's constantly flowing,
maybe unless there's like a dip in the thing, but if it was a flat bottom, right, which is more or less it is, so then yeah, it's all flowing down. It's constantly being replaced. Right? It's not like a pool, right, or a lake. Right?
I'm just trying to say, what he said is bottle barov is a temporary bittel. It's not a permanent bittel.
Well, that's the point that we're talking about. See, it sounds like that you are assuming that the water sometime later is part of the water that was originally here, and then you could talk about whether it became bottle. So does it change its status? But if the facts that we're working with is that all water flows down, and it's a new source over here, so this new source is fresh. So we don't have to deal with the fact that it was once bottle. Maybe what you could. In the big picture, maybe you could wonder that I don't know if it's a question either, but you know if there is a bittel and the water, so you know you have the meg shaman which came down into this area, right? I will want to wrap, right? So there was Rav Meg Shamim, right? So therefore it was Mavatl. So let's say the entire water at this moment, right, became Meg Shamim, become bottle. So now this all flows down into the ocean. So should it be that, once it comes into the ocean, right, what happens now, right? So at first glance we would say, well, it's a meat, clapping the rave of the ocean, so it's bottle to the ocean now. Right, that could possibly be, right? Maybe that's the truth of the matter. Even though so many waterways making its way into the ocean, which might have all turned into gotten it in a rainwater at that point, but there's still always going to be a rove of Meimayin in the ocean. So you'll always have a bit later on, right? So that could so even if it were to be that the bittel, remains, but then whatever that original bittel is nizbatel, or and I didn't mean to say Aliyah, I'm saying, but you know, but there's a din bittul, right? So even if it changes its status, you know, as far as you know.
Are we only talking about things that are constantly moving at a fast pace, or things that are slowly moving? Like, you know, sometimes you have a gathering of water and it's like slowly moving. Like,
now, your question is concerning the halacha of moving. What is the miles per hour concerning Zeichlin?
When is it Zeichlin? The water is even slightly.
Okay. So you're asking a valid question. Right. This is a very detailed question. I don't think that we are supposed to have the answer to that.
Because I think mikveh is like it's not moving at all, zero movement. And I think Zeichlin, it's constantly flowing, but there's some things that are somewhere in between.
Okay, that's a good point. That you have to ask someone who's an experienced mikveh expert to give that answer, right? or maybe not even an expert, but someone that has more knowledge than we have, just picking up the basics over here.
So what did the Ran say? He says that it's batal because it's rov megisham. The whole thing is considered din megisham.
Right.
If it wasn't batal and it's 52% megisham and 48% tahom. And let's say it wasn't bottled, then you can still be toivel in it. The problem is that it's bottled, that's the problem.
Yeah. Right, the problem is the bittul. Now, once it's bittul, so then there is no meimayin. It's all considered megisham. And megisham can't be mitar while it's moving. Okay. Right. Right.
So what's his question?
Now his question is, he's really asking the other way, right? Because it's, let's say if you don't have roif. Right? If you don't have roiv,
you
make shamim, right?
At least not at the first minute.
Right? So if there's no roiv, then it's mutter. Now, the truth of the matter is, if you want to know why it's mutter, we might have said that, because I have meimayin here, which is the shear, you know that could be, so I have both, but one doesn't take away from the other. But there's probably a din bittul there also in that way, right? And that's really the base of the question that the Rosh is about to ask. That when you have a roiv meimayin, so then the megisham will become bottle, right? Whether it needs to become bottle or not. But it'll become batal, and what's relevant is his question. Therefore, he asks that. Well, it doesn't all come in at the same moment. so even though that the totality of the water that came over here was sourced from rain, but since it's coming in, not at the same moment. So why doesn't it become batal? Because each moment or each that comes in, it there's a meat. That's how he asks the question. Le'omra kama botel. Right, that's what he says. That was the question, as if to say, right? He's ready in the answer mode, right? But we have trained ourselves to discern the question here. Right, the question is, right? Why don't you say kama botel? Kama botel, and definitely this is a concept that we find. In Hilchus Bittul, in other areas, that there's something becomes bottle as it goes in becomes bottle.
Pot of chicken soup, and you spill 1 ounce of milk, so that ounce of milk is bottled into the chicken soup, and then 10 minutes later you spill another ounce, so that ounce is bottle. And then there's another ounce, even though if you add it all together, it's less than the amount that you need for bittul, but each one is bottled because...
That seems to be the premise over here. Now, what the guidelines of that is, I wouldn't walk away, with a, halacha lemaisa over here, right. But now, come on, this is what he's asking. He's asking, lo yom kama bottle, and it tells us why. Shekol dover shedarko ligadol. Anything which is the derech to grow, the gam godo b'li hefsik, and it grows without any interruption, lo omar kama botul.
It has two gedarim. One, it has to be the derech, and the second is that b'li hefsik.
Very good. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And you know, we'll see better. He sources this, what he's saying over here is really Sigmar and Dharm later on. Such an interesting application of Bittul. I think more over there talks about concerning something growing. That's what that source is. You know, if you have something in the initial stages of growth that, you know, has one din, and the there's a greater amount of growth which will happen afterwards, which has a different din, and how do you deal with that? The source that he's saying over there is that when the roiv finishes growing, it's mevatel what was there initially, why you say kam bottle, because as it's growing, you know, it's a miyut, and this is where he's the source of what he's saying is from over there. Now the truth of the matter is. The truth of the matter is like this: is that you know, in this halacha, like I mentioned before, that there's a lot of different conditions and things like that. other places, you know, as that a difference between a constant stream and not a constant stream. If something is coming in one constant. A constant stream, then you know we couldn't say a kam bot because it's attached to something, right? Which is which is a greater amount. I have to see how that plays out when you're talking about rainwater. But the Ran doesn't seem to be applying that so much. He's talking about something which comes constantly, b'li hefsik. Right. He seems to be talking about, you know, if it rains for an hour, and he's referring to that as water which is coming b'li hefsik, which you wouldn't say kama bottle on that. Right. Does that have the halacha of nitzuk exactly? Right. Whether it's that halacha or he has a different gather, and like you're saying, the darker the gozel, exactly what's that condition also needs maybe some classification and clarification. But
maybe when he says gli hafsik, it doesn't mean that it's without stop. I think it means without human intervention, it's going to happen by itself. If it rains at 9 o'clock and then it stops raining 15 minutes, then it rains at 9:15, and then I don't think that's because there was a hefsek. I don't think that's going to make a difference. I think that because with the growing thing, it doesn't happen without a hefsek.
It is. I mean, it's definitely constantly growing
every second.
Yeah. I don't think it takes a break, does it? Right. The process is a constant process. Right? That's probably true. Right, but on spurts, you know. Again, basic niche, but that's what I would assume. So what you're saying is not so poshut. Maybe we could say with a little greater degree of doubt in it. Right.
You think b'li hefsek means without a hefsek?
I mean that constant, like I'm saying, from other areas with this, that the Gemara talks about a difference. If you have something, if you're pouring something, whether you're pouring, you know, and it's coming out in drips or it's one constant stream, right? There's a difference in that, right? Whether there's a hefsek and not a hefsek, that does make a difference. So I would not be so fast to say that you know, as long as the Echeist, you know, the weather report hasn't ended yet, you know, it's all one thing. I don't know if that's
so therefore to say that. If it rains at 9 o'clock and then it stops raining and then 20 minutes later it rains again, the first rain is bottle?
Possibly. I would like to reserve that possibility.
So then when you were afraid of Rov made Yeshamim, you only have to be afraid of Rov made Yeshamim that came down without a hefsek. That really limits the problem. I mean, even the melting of the snow, it's b'li hefsek. That means constantly snow is melting every, without a hefsek, without something interrupting. It didn't get cooler in between and then warmer again, and you know, the snow melts when it gets hot at a certain degree temperature. So, I mean, these things don't happen usually, believe hefsek. If you really need it to be constant, I would think that the problem of making shamim is very limited.
So I would say, see, we know that we're dealing with sfeikis over here, right? And Shitas Rav is based on, you know, the fact that Megisham is a problem. There could be Rav Megisham. Now, is that definitely Rav Megisham? I don't think that necessarily we even know the measure. But once there's room to suspect, then already, you know, we can't use it. Now these other things that you're now, okay. So if in halacha you could create a svek sveka, then in echnami, then maybe you're right.
It's a something that's very summer, man. Even if it's very very summer, it's something that could happen.
Possibly. I have to know if that is a proper svek sveka. You have to know a number of areas in halacha in order. Right? So you could bring your ideas to a rov, but I wouldn't decide it on my own, right? Because each area has its own guidelines.
But if we're choshesh, the whole point of it's a chashash. That means we're being machmir because it might be rov megisham. If someone was toivel on there, it might have been a good tefillah.
Okay, let's say.
Well, let's say, in fact, a bracha, if we were to do it a second time.
Also, okay. it would affect maybe I'm not sure, but maybe be choshish more for daraisa things than for drabanan things. When we deal with a chash, then it's not maker adin that it's rov maker shamim. So then it's
okay. I mean, I mean, right. It's not definite upon we'll call it that, right? So we're there's a difference when you deal with a sophic. There will be a difference. Could be right. That would make sense. Mm-hmm.
Even that's later on Amud Beis, the Ran says, according to one of the Rishonim, that really Shmuel holds it's mostly from the source, but he's machmer halach lamaisa. He goes that you shouldn't rely on this except we made Tishrei, because halach lamaisa he's machmer. I don't know why he's machmer. It's always every tavach malamala is tvachayim malamata. I'm not sure where the makom to be machmir is even. Maybe he, I'm not sure.
Okay, but what are you getting at? I'm just losing
the
training.
It seems to me, if that's the case, that the fact that Shmuel halach lamaisa did that way is like a chumrah almost. It's not he's saying, really, it's me keeping his bark. So it really should be mutter.
Mm-hmm. Right. So what's your question? How does it relate to what we're discussing now? That's maybe a question over there.
No, right? So I'm saying that if somebody was tovel in the river when it's zochelin, and it might be rov megisham, and it's not tishrei. So even definitely, I think
is there a b'di'evit? The b'di'evit makes a difference.
I don't know. I'm asking you. The b'di'evit, it might be. It's at least a suffix, you know.
Okay, but what is that? How does that help him? All right. I don't know if that. I mean, if you could find an area where it helps, I'll tell you where it could possibly make an Nafka Mina. We spoke about the Tefillas Kelim. Right? So everyone agrees that Tefillas Kelim on glass Kelim is Rabbanon. Even if you hold it on metal Kelim, it's the right. So on glass Kelim is Rabbanon. And over there, right, there's definitely coolness because it's Rabbanon. So this is maybe where there would be a room to be makel on such a thing. If you have a Sufik, right, I don't mean to paskin, but maybe that would be like a practical example of where a Sufik would make an Nafka Mina.
The English says that. The Beis Yosef says paskins like Rav that you can't be Togel and Zofan except in Tishrei, and the Ramah says Faradogu B'makomos Ashkenaz go like Rabbi Tam that you can rely on Zofan and you can all 12 months a year.
Right. So that's where. So even though lechatchila one should try to satisfy the mechaber shita, but like for such a thing like this, right? You know, for glass, then there's the room to be to say lechatchila on the minik that the Ramah brings. Alright. Right, that's where a difference would play out. Okay. One second. So let's just hear. So what do we just touched over here on the Rosh. The Rosh asked the question that even though true that were we to have a Roiv Megishomim, then it wouldn't be Mitar B'Zoichlin. But why don't we dan a Bittel as it's coming in? There's no Roiv, you know, at one time, B'Vasachas, there's no Roiv that comes in, so let there be a Bittel. And the Rosh tells us that we can't dan a bittel kama bottle, being that it's coming bli hefsik, and it's something which is derech to be misgad like this, and therefore we have to deal with whatever is upcoming as if it's one unit, and therefore there is no bittel. Okay, but like I mentioned before, the bittul shilus is this is a lot of halachas when you get to bittul, other dine bittul, that is a concept of chayzer v'nir, right? Which is brought la halacha, you know, to see where it is relevant. That means that a bittel, even if we would say kama bottle, but it's not that it is forever bottle. It's in a kol's man that it's a miyut. It has a din bittel, and its identity is tofel. But there is such a halach that at the point that it grows and it becomes the primary ingredient in here, then it could be chayzer v'nir, then it could wake up again.
Those are opposite concepts.
What?
Isn't kama batel lafuke chayzer v'nir?
Yeah, right. So there, right, it is, right, you're really, like you're saying, right, that.
He says the whole thing turns into notfin. The next words in the Rosh.
Right. Once there's
now
no.
The whole thing
once
is
no better. Right.
Because it's 51% rainwater, the whole thing is rainwater.
Right. I think.
Now, if you wanted to evolve this with spring water, bringing 2% to push it over to 51 the other way doesn't help you anymore. You have to now, to bring it to spring water, you have to bring double the spring water. Even though you have to be
a part of
the original spring water that you had.
So I don't necessarily see that's what he's coming to say. Right, I think that was our addition to that. So you have to be just be on guard that whatever we say, you have to make sure.
What
that
does kulam mean?
What?
What does that kulam mean?
Means that at this point that even
if the
meat,
a big rush of spring water comes in and it pushes.
So that's a new shayla. I don't think we have information on that. Do we have any information on that?
Can't push 51% the other way and then that kulam the Mayan water.
So that has to do with this idea of a chayzer veneer.
But I think what the Rav is saying now is a point which the Rav hit on before, is that assuming that there wasn't batel, you might have thought that even if there was 51% rainwater, but still since you're immersed in you have the proper shear of Mayan water, it might be good. So that's why you have to say
right,
that at least for this moment.
Right. Yeah, mm-hmm. Very good. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Well,
the reason why he might have to say that it's kulo batel and we view it like it's totally rainwater, because the Rav gave us far before that perhaps if you had 50% rainwater and a proper share of Mayan water, right? You know, Zochlin. So maybe you could be total of that, right?
50-50? No, exactly.
51 and 49, right? 51 rainwater worthy
if it's
other made, water.
The Mayan water was not buckled and it kept its identity.
Right, since it has the proper share, the Rabbi gave us a tzad to say that maybe that would be good, and that's why the Rabbi has to come to say that. Even the at this point, right? Even the formerly spring water is considered like rainwater.
So the whole thing is rainwater.
Right, right. But that doesn't take away the fact that if the spring water goes back up to 51%, then it might.
Also, I hear what you're saying. Also, the problem is that a spring is very, very long. So how much of an area are we discussing to decide if it's Rove rainwater? You're discussing 2 feet by 2 feet, or you're discussing a mile by... When you add further area, some places it goes shorter, some places it goes higher. And I assume in different places, some places there's more rainwater, and some places there's more Mayan water. So you're not going to discuss the whole process miles long, that the whole thing is Rove rainwater, or the whole thing. You're discussing one small area. How much of an area are we discussing?
Mm-hmm. Okay, it's a good point. It's a good point. I mean, especially, we're not even talking about raining directly above the pras, right? That's what we want to talk about.
It's raining in Eretz Yisrael.
Right, and it's that rainwater is making its way here.
You're saying the whole entire
process
will be...
No, so I'm just thinking out loud your question. How does that... Yeah, again, if and the Ram himself tells us that, you know, if we were Bikiyim, if we would have clear exactly what's going on, then there would be more room to be lenient, because, you know, you know what you know.
The Bikiyim are going to be funky in this area. They're going to know where this place, what the level is supposed to be at. They're not going to be Bikiyim in the 200-mile river.
No, so
that,
I was just applying the idea of a Bikiyim, that if we have a piece of information and we know, right, then you know you can act on that. So if you know, you know how the water travels. Right? If you were to know that this rainwater which comes from Eretz Yisrael, and you could follow it and know where it is in the pras at this moment, so you probably could be tevil on another area. The truth of the matter is that, you know, one could also ask, you know, similar to what you're asking, if the pras is one waterway, you know, if it is, then how does the roiv work? You know, is just because right now in this area, you know, is it subject? Does it have to be equally divided, or the fact that it's, you know, one waterway so you can use its whole water, you know, for every area. You have to know the halachas and the sources of that different.
It's from different parts of the sugya. It seems like they're talking about measuring how wide it spreads and how high it goes, right? So it seems like we're dealing.
The Ran, the Ran, you're talking that the Ran.
I mean, again, that part of the Ran. A little was Rabbi Davis, so a lot I didn't do,
Is that on the Mal? On the base. The Arichas in the Ran. Not Namal, Mem on the base. That you went through the whole Ran over here.
No, I got to the end of the Indian Halach up to Mihu. Or maybe up to Nimsa. Nimsa. We did a few more lines, but we didn't get to the bottom even.
So he talks about. What are you
talking about? How wide and how deep?
Yes, certain different spots.
Because David said, like there's different opinions there in the run. If you could tumble on the edges or in the middle of the river, right? That would.
According to Rav, or according to Shmuel, or according to who?
This would be according to Rav, right? Because Shmuel, there's no problem, because you always have, right, according to Rav, right?
So there might be a difference between the center of the water and the edges?
Right, like let's say if I understood incorrectly, right, if the rainwater causes the banks to spread, you know, to widen, so that doesn't, according to some opinions in the Ran, it doesn't take away that the original part where the spring water was is still good. It's just the new parts aren't.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
keep
right.
Right.
You have to see the specifics over there, and I was hoping to get there today, but I guess we're not gonna make it there. Okay, but at least we have the preliminaries. The preliminaries. We always have to start with the preliminaries, get the fundamental foundations, and then there's always what to build on. Okay, but let's just see if it's Jack Alpon read the Gemara to the end. Okay.
So that's what he said, though. He says that there might be shaykh that you can be told in the center of the river, but not on the edges. Is that what he says according to Rav?
Okay, look at it yourself to see. Okay, let's see the Gemara. Now the Gemara says it further. The Gemara says that, as a matter of fact, that there's a sphere within Shmuel himself. Right? Seems to be a contradiction in Shmuel. Shmuel himself said the following memory: Ein hamayim mitarin b'zoichlin, elo pras b'yemei tishu b'vad. The literal, what he seems to be saying over here is that rainwater, or something that an area which has rainwater, or what the rain makes its way into this water body, it cannot be metar while it's flowing. Ela pras, the pras river b'yemei tishrei b'lad. And the reason for that is because that during the month of Tishrei, that's after, well after the rain season has passed, and therefore, at that time, you could be assured that there's no roif of Megisham. As a matter of fact, that, you know, waterways at that time are back to their normal source level. Right? So at that point.
And it didn't stop the new rainy season yet.
Yeah, right. So all sources of rain and snow and other things which cannot be metal while it's moving, we don't have the concern. That's what Shmuel's saying over here. So this memory of Shmuel definitely seems to imply that when the rain is here and there is a roiv a roif of rain he's dealing with, then it's also, this seems to be a contradiction to what he said before, that is never a concern, because even when it rains, you always have a roif of meimayim. Now the Gemara does not offer an answer to this contradiction. Right? Well, Yo was mentioning maybe the Ran brings from some Yishayinim the way to view this, that one was the Shmuel was saying the Iker Hadin, and this other member was saying that what is the practical way of practice, that one should be choshish practically, even though the Iker Hadin, there is really a basis that you could rely that it's okay. Let's just see over this last Gemara. Avur de Shmuel Ovad Lohoin Mikfois Labante. Avur de Shmuel, also another source to this Shita. We'll see that he's also seems to be going like Rav. He was Ovad Lohoin Mikfois Labante Biyoime Nissen. He would make Mikfois for his daughters to be Toivel Biyoime Nissen. And the Ran talks about why we're discussing Yom Nissen and what that, I mean, the simple understanding of what that is that it doesn't mean only the Yom Nissen. Basically, it means all year round. That Kol Zman, that there's a mokum to be choshish for make shaman. So he did not want his daughters to be tevil in a moving waterway, and they were tevil in mikvois. Umafti b'yom tishrei on yom tishrei, like the previous member of Shmuel on yom tishrei, you could be assured that it's kosher. So moving waterways could be used on tishrei, and over there there was other possible concerns. That maybe there's a chatzitza shayla based on the muddy floors of such a thing. So because of such a concern, that he put down mats. That's one of the pshat that the Ran says. Maybe it refers to tznius that he set up mats. Back upon him. So what's mevu in the Gemara over here is that definitely the primary shittas in this Gemara are yechoshish for the concern of a ribu of make shaman. That's where we've come out similarly from this sugya. That the Ran brings, and let's just see just a couple of lines in the Ran, just to get the ilinyan halacha. Let's jump over there, just to see. That stored movie here.
The footnote in English says that when it says Tishrei, according to some, Tishrei doesn't just mean Tishrei; it might also include possibly Elul and Teshuvah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Let's see the Ran over here. Inyan halacha.
Where is that?
The Inyan halacha. This would be, I would say, a little bit less than halfway down the Omer in the Ran on Daf Memum Beis.
Mar-Gemara is 14.
I got it.
Thank you.
Ulinin aloha, pas Rabbeinu Tam kishmul. Yeh, Rabbeinu Tam passed in Lohokil. Lohokil, like Shmuel, the Omer Nair Mekif Mivrith. Right. He brings that member of Nair Mekif Mivrith. And he explains that even though in our sugya most shittas are not like that, but he brings a source from the Tanoim, that the Tanoim say that that Pras, the name of Pras, is from the fact that its waters are Porin Viroven, name of Porin Viroven, that That means that its source is replenishing, and therefore that would be a riot to the other member of Shmuel. This member of Shmuel, that now may keep him mivrich. So even though it may be in our sugya, the primary shita is not like that, but there's sources in the Tanoim like that, and that's why Rabbeinu Tam was makel like shita Shmuel. And like we said, that the Ramah brings the shita Rabbeinu Tam, that was the accepted minig. If we jump down now to let's mention this over here. There is another idea that's mentioned. Teich Divrei Haran brings a source called Maim HaMechazen. That's what we mentioned before, that waters which dry up, right? The Mishnah says even once in 7 years, very infrequently, but if something could totally dry up, so in the Ran, the understanding of that seems to be that therefore its source is not from a Mayim. That's what that would show. Right? Now, if its source is not from a Mayim, so then we don't really have Shita Shmuel to rely on anymore. The whole Shita Shmuel is that something that's sourced from a Mayan, even when it rains, the primary contributor is the Mayan itself. But that's all assuming that there's a Mayan over here which is sourcing this waterway. But something which is proven that it's not a Mayan, the fact that it's Mayan Mechazvin, so the whole Shita Shmuel is not something to rely on. So that's why.
Shmuel wouldn't say it's halach in that case.
Right. And that's what he's saying. But the man says that even though the Rabbeinu Tam passes like Shmuel, we come welcome nearly sha'af huzaloi omro el benar shem mechazin. Ava mechazin lech lemem abahu de mivrich mikipayim. However, Avor Rabbeinu Chanan, I'm just going to mention this last shita. Rabbeinu Chanan, Rabbeinu apostle kiraf gavu de Shmuel. At other Rishonim, Ben Chanano, and the Rif, Paskin, like the other man, the Amim Kirah, Abu Dushmul, in my Mitar, and Bezaychon, Ella Pras, the Emetition Bilvad. Okay, so this is the Machlekes, had a Paskin, and that's the basis of the Machaber with Ramoh. Okay, all right. So, Baruch Hashem, we touched on this area. We had some basic ideas and very good ha'oras and points that it was ma'or for further investigation. That you know you'll have to follow through on your own. Right? Maybe ask someone who's learned in this area. Okay, Zayin Gezunt, everyone. Hatzlocha upcoming week.